Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, we try to every week. We have a 50% discount to our VRTrader.com products, including our famous annual forecast model, which we've been producing since 1987. You go to VRTrader.com, you pick your newsletter, one of the products is the forecast model, and you enter the promo code 2022 half off, and you get 50% off of any of the newsletters or time frames that you select. And also, I like to always make that disclosure that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. We just produce our newsletters.
Many of the stock markets hit new record highs. Is this the setup for sell in May and go away?
Could be. We went short today. We put out a little bulletin saying if you're trading oriented, let's put on some inverse indexes for the various ETFs that offer that opportunity. A lot of the press just pounding the table about the Dow over 40,000. And, I'm not saying I'm a perma bear or anything. And we asked last week about how high we could go. And, even 60,000 is possible. But I don't know how many days, months, or years that's going to take to do that. But we are in the cyclical time frame for some type of peak. There are a lot of questions on the news the last couple of weeks about the sell may go away, and some statistics support it, some don't. But we do have summer coming up, Labor Day here in the U.S. Things tend to slow down during the summer. A lot of the traders and investors sort of take time off. It's a little less volatile, a little less volume. And we do for, some type of pullback cyclically anyway. So we'll see. We're taking a trading approach. So we're already ahead in terms of our short position earlier today when we put out the bulletin. It just, when I was watching financial news, they're jumping up and down and screaming about Dow 40,000 and how bullish they are. And I think it was 8 out of the last 10 sessions the market was up. And, just too much positives, just like when they're down and they're killing them and there's bad news and they're panicking, that's the time you should be looking to buy. And here where they're euphoric and they're all excited about the highs, that's the time to think about just the opposite. That's just my approach. And as I keep saying, I'm a survivor. I've been doing this for 45 years, still doing it. And you're not going to make every call 100%, but I'm still here, and I can identify generally when there's an extreme or a trading opportunity. So it is VR Trader. We're not VR investors. We do put out some names that we do like, and for example, we have our gold letter, and we have various names that have been doing better, and we have our cannabis letter, and that's a whole other story we can cover in a moment. And we have our blockchain covering crypto, and of course Bitcoin has been hot. So there are certain areas that we will keep some core positions because we think they'll do better over time, but at the same time we are trying to do some trades along the way. But to answer your question, so may go away as a possibility here, at least on a one-day basis here. We're short, and we'll see how it plays out.
The meme stocks had a huge run, cooled off, but when they get really hot, is that a warning sign for the stock market in general?
That occurred to me at the time too, and I was putting out a recommendation for AMC for a trade, and I said our target could be 12. It got there exactly. Unfortunately, I didn't pull the trigger and get in fast enough, but we put out a bulletin about that. And GME also had that huge run, and it occurred to me at the time that, you know, that type of speculative interest might be coincident with the sell may go away question you just had asked. You know, we're in that crazy time frame. Of course, it's been a while since the memes had the run. I think it was the summer of 2021. So maybe they run on 3-year cycles. So we'll have to wait to 2027 for another one of these early summer, you know, plays. But in any event, yep, that could be possible. But it was exciting because, you know, they were tradable. And, you know, the street is just aghast about the whole thing. I mean, they just can't get enough of the fact that some of these stocks take off because some guy on the internet puts up a visual leaning forward. What was his name? Kitty? Something like that. And he put up a Twitter picture of himself leaning forward, and that was a signal that it's time to get back in the meme stocks. And, I mean, they just can't get enough of the story. I mean, they don't understand it. They don't condone it. They just think it's a bunch of nonsense, but it's unbelievable opportunity for traders and people that are like me who, you know, just want to make money, you know, and that's what this game is all about. So it was really exciting to see it happen. And they badmouthed it because they didn't make any money on it. You know, they weren't smart enough or aggressive enough to jump in and take advantage of it. But there's a whole group of legion of traders out there that follow certain people, and they pull the trigger and these things happen. And the whole market's manipulated anyway. I mean, you know, this has been my 45-year story, starting back with my days on the floor of the Chicago Board Options Exchange. So this is another form of manipulation, so be it. Everything else is manipulated anyway. Earnings reports are generally bogus, or they pre-run information. They know what's coming ahead of time. The government statistics are all false. So I mean, it's just a loaded game anyway. You just have to know how to play the game. And that's why we use technical analysis and contrary opinion and cyclical work and all kinds of stuff to try to beat them at their game, you know. So it's just fun, and I'm glad that the memes had a run here, just part and parcel to the game that we play here on Wall Street.
Gold, what's the story there?
Love it. You know, just, you know, it's having its indigestion, had a big run up. I'd love to see a shakeout. I mean, honestly, I'd love to see like one of those $300, $400 corrections like we've seen a couple times in the last 2 or 3 years, you know, go back to 1900 or something. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, I have a 2700 target. There's a lot of, you know, stuff going on that the financial media is not talking about with the BRICS nations and the accumulation of the gold and China and Russia's involvement in that market and the accumulation that's going on and the inability to make delivery on contracts, and also foreign central banks accumulating gold, which is helping actually drive the dollar higher because they got to convert into dollars to do it. And it's amazing. I mean, I posted an article that was actually put out by another analyst in my newsletter yesterday about gold could get as high as $27,000, as one speculative analyst talked about. You know, so enough people want it. There's not that much around. Enough nations are out to, stabilize a currency backed by gold. Anything's possible here in the months and years ahead. But, you know, I've been, as you have, and many of the other analysts, I mean, I've been involved in the gold market, you know, since the 1980s, 70s, actually when it all started back in the 70s, when it was, you know, $40, $50 an ounce, and it really took off. But it's over time it does well. You have to trade it on occasion if you're, you know, if you don't like to see 30 to 50% corrections in it. But for the most part, we're holding positions in that. We're also seeing some other resources starting to move here. We've been long natural gas, And that's been going nowhere for a long time. In the last couple of weeks, it's starting to uptick here a little bit. So still way cheap. It's not gold, but it's just another commodity that's doing better. And oil looks like it hit a little bit of a support level here, so I still like the oil. I'm still, you know, very biased to the commodities, you know, physical assets, real estate, and so forth. So still, you know, like anything else, we can talk about trades. These things trade around. We had a recommendation or mentioned in our newsletter for several months for Pioneer Oil and Gas, which did very well for us. It was ticker symbol PXD. It was taken out by Exxon. They did complete the deal, so that had a huge move. So we're very happy with our oil plays. Even the Occidental Petroleum had a little correction here from about $71 down to $61, but it's still one of Warren Buffett's favorite stocks, and as far as I know, he may still be accumulating that. Only so much oil around, and you don't have friendly governments, particularly the U.S. government, so there's going to be shortages, there's going to be higher prices, there's more demand for hybrid vehicles and gasoline vehicles to the detriment of the EVs at the moment, so positive on that as well.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on in the cannabis market?
Well, we had a story today, and it got everybody excited, and we did well on our trades. You know, we had positions in cannabis stocks. So it wasn't dramatic, but it was a story. The White House is trying to win votes. You know, they think by pushing for the declassification or downgrade of marijuana to a Schedule 3 from a Schedule 1. So they put out some story today about they want to begin some formal rulemaking process. And I don't understand all that to downgrade it. It's up to the DEA, and apparently there's going to be some pressure from the Attorney General, Merrick Garland's office, and you know, apparently the Department of Justice is involved and announced that Garland is going to submit a proposal to the Federal Register. So it's very complicated about what the procedure is in terms of how they get it rescheduled and reclassified under the Controlled Substances Act that they call CSA. So apparently, this goes way back to the CSA rule of 1970. Apparently at that time, in that ruling, they classified marijuana as a Schedule 1 drug, which makes it, you know, just a little totally illegal. And, you know, when you think about it, it was an act of Congress. You know, it's like saying the act of Congress makes liquor illegal. You know, it's none of their business what people use or what they use and so forth. Marijuana's been around thousands of years, as has alcohol. But in 1970, in their own stupidity, they created this act. And you know, marijuana has been around forever, and it was, I'm sure, industry pressure. Drug companies didn't want marijuana around. The tobacco companies probably thought it was conflict to smoking cigarettes. You know, they were paid off. There's no question about it. I mean, just the way the system works. There's no reason why that act should even be created. So now they're going to try to undo it, only because there could be some votes potentially for the Democrats. So it's really a circus, and from a trading point of view, we had a nice pop in some of the stocks today. They didn't make new highs, but they popped on the Biden White House story. So as you know, we've been talking about this for a while. We do have the Cannabis Sector Newsletter. We focus on some of those names, and the truth is, you know, other things are happening. For example, a company like Canopy Growth, which was a Canadian company, was originally called Weed. Apparently, is opening the market in Germany and other places because Germany changed their marijuana rules over there, more liberal than they've been. So a lot of these companies don't have to only do business in the U.S. As you know, Canada has already been legal all along. So all this is about the big market opening in the U.S. but a lot of U.S. cannabis-related companies, names like Trulieve and so forth, are based in Florida, which is accommodative to selling marijuana, and they have some legislation on the ballot in November, which could make it more accommodative. But a lot of these companies have locations around the country, and they've been profitable, regardless of whether this Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 event occurs. In other words, they're profitable companies, I suppose, selling CBD and so forth and so forth. And there's a whole bunch of them. Many of them are in the ETF, MSOS, which we track. And that's sort of remarkable, because the Canadian companies were losing money hand over fist. Canopy, Tilray is an example, Cronos, you can run down the whole list of them. But the U.S., some of these new U.S. companies actually, a couple are buying back their own stock. They've done well. I think they'll do well anyway, you know, whether this rescheduling occurs or not. Of course, they have been doing well up to this point. But apparently, you know, this might open up more markets for them, in their opinion. So we'll see how all that plays out. But we still have the Banking Act, which still needs to be passed. That's a whole other discussion. I don't have all the details in front of me now, but that's been jocked around here for a couple, 3 years already. You know, it's a federal banking act where they have to, legalize marijuana on a congressional level. Not only, you know, it gets sort of complicated. You know, it's not only rescheduling it from 1 to 3, you have to actually have a congressional act, just like they did for this CSA Act I just mentioned in 1970, just across the board legalizing marijuana. That way companies can do business in banks and credit cards. They don't only have to deal in cash and all this nonsense. The IRS won't stop them from deducting expenses in their business, because if you're an illegal enterprise, you can't deduct your expenses. I mean, it's insane what's been going on, even though states have legalized it here in the U.S. You needed a broad-based approach like occurred in Canada, and they just didn't do it down here, just a bunch of numbskulls all over the place. So, you know, the long and short of it is Biden thinks he can get some votes by pushing this, but there's still more that needs to be done, including the Banking Act, and it's complicated. So in the meanwhile, it's creating some fun trading opportunities in some of these, cannabis stocks like Canopy Growth and, Trulieve and some of the big, the big names out there that trade a lot of volume during the day. So that was a story that came out today with Biden. And, I would just keep an eye on them, because they're going to trade around, and they're, relatively cheap stocks. You know, some are mostly trading in the $5 to $12 range. And, on pullbacks, you can, trade these things. It's a lot of fun. They trade with a lot of volume. And, it's sort of funny, because I was watching a little bit. I try not to watch the financial news, because they're just a bunch of idiots who just, repeat or told what they're told to say, and that's it. But not much coverage on the cannabis today. They were more excited about the fact that the Dow was over 40,000 and stuff like that. And Walmart came out with earnings today, and they jumped up big. They were all excited about that, which is one of the reasons why the Dow went to new highs, because it's a component in the Dow Industrials. But not much mention of it in the press, so we'll see if they get behind a little bit more. They don't like talking about it. I guess they got embarrassed by the meme stocks. They didn't really get into GME or AMC. They just missed it, or they didn't believe it. They don't trade it, so they think it's unholy to trade these things. They're just stocks and numbers. That's all it all comes down to.
Well, don't forget their alcohol advertising. Yeah. They're alcohol advertisers on those financial networks don't want the competition of marijuana. The alcohol and tobacco industries have been the biggest fighters of legal pot.
Well, that's sort of an interesting statement, because Constellation Brands, ticker symbol STZ, $200 stock,
yeah,
which is, Modelo beer and Coors and stuff like that, I believe. Not necessarily Coors. I've got the other brand that they market. Constellation Brands was a big investor in cannabis. They had put $1 billion or more dollars into cannabis growth a few years ago, if you remember, trying to get into the cannabis market, and that blew up in their face when the stock collapsed. They lost, apparently lost all their money. I don't know really where that stands, but they're writing off the losses for cannabis growth. So here's an example of a liquor company, a beer company, Constellation Brands. Apparently they're still selling their beer and their stock's still over $200 a share, but they participated in the marijuana business, which made sense. I always thought they would be the tobacco companies like Philip Morris and Altria that would be in there. In fact, I ran into a couple of their representatives at cannabis events way back in 2014, 15, 16 when I went to some of these conventions. And they were very quiet. They told me they were from Philip Morris or Altria and they're snooping around. They didn't want to talk about it, but, you know, maybe they're in it and they're just, from what I hear, they're in it, but they don't disclose it. You know, they do it through venture funds or indirect investments. They don't want publicly to know that. But I know for a fact, watching these guys, that I'm sure they did something or invested in the sector. So, you know, tobacco is in there. Constellation Brands already demonstrated that they had interest, and I'm sure maybe some of the other liquor or beer companies might be trying to get their foot in the door too. We'll see how it all plays out. I mean, some things may work, may not work for them, but I appreciate you mentioning that, Jim, you know, about the liquor companies not wanting the competition. So, you know, that goes back to my statement earlier why that CSA 1970 Act got passed. You know, I'm sure tobacco companies and others and drug companies didn't want marijuana around 50 years ago, and they did their best to try to discourage its usage by making it illegal. So it didn't do much good because it became very successful anyway, and there was a black market then, and there still is a black market now.
Are we expecting more solar storms that gave us spectacular northern lights seen as far south as Florida?
Well, there's one underway now, but apparently, according to the research that comes from the you know, the scientists that track this, the way it occurs, and I'm learning along the way too, because I'm not a solar scientist, though I follow a lot of it. Apparently, when the solar flares or the spots on the sun are facing in our direction and they're big enough, that's what causes these solar storms. And they actually put out pictures. You could track this on the internet. You see the big spots on the sun. So apparently, from one of the most recent news is, apparently there's still a CME arriving here on the Earth, according to them, the next day or two. Anyway, a moderate. They call it a G2 class. It's a smaller one. But apparently, there's two big ones that are facing Mars right now. So they say there's a monster sunspot, and that you could actually see it on the Internet. So first Earth got it, and now apparently they say this is a Carrington-class sunspot facing the red planet. Now, we were worrying about the Carrington facing the Earth, and we had a lot of action here on the Earth, a lot of auroras and some shortwave radio blackouts, and Elon Musk was talking about how some of the Starlink satellites are modestly affected. They weren't knocked out, which could have happened if it was stronger. So it's targeting at Mars right now, and you know, I'm totally on the other side of this in terms of where the conventional wisdom is on Mars and our space missions and everything. And most people think I'm crazy, but I have a little strong intuition about stuff. And I think we're already on Mars. So I think our base there is probably going to have to deal, if they're underground, perhaps they're in good shape, but we'll probably have to deal with this this sunspot and solar flare that's about to hit Mars in the next, apparently, day or two. But in any event, yeah, so Mars is going to get it now. And you know, maybe this Carrington event that you and I have talked about for the last couple, 3 years that occurred back in 1859 is about, at some point, going to repeat itself a lot sooner than we have thought. You know, you figure, oh, it could be 1,000 years from now, or, you know, because it happened 100 years from now. It's not going to happen so fast. But maybe the sun is becoming more active now and generating more of these serious sunspots and solar flares that could seriously affect the Earth. So, you know, this is why I talk about this stuff. You know, we worry what the Federal Reserve is doing or what Biden is doing or what Trudeau is doing or what Putin is doing or what, Red China is doing and all this nonsense about humankind and, totally out of our control. You know, I'm not saying we could be wiped out, but we could be seriously, affected by something on the sun, which obviously we can't protect ourselves totally from or totally predict. And it's sort of, you know, laughable when you think that we're really insects on this planet and all the makings of mankind really are meaningless when you think about the power that exists outside the earth and what the planet is really all about. So I always try to take that perspective, you know, enjoy the day, enjoy what you're doing, the markets, you know, try not to pay attention to too much of what you hear on the radio and television, because it's all created by human beings who have little control about the planetary potential and possibilities or disasters which occur all the time, and just be happy that you're safe at the moment and, you know, try to stay out of areas of conflict like Gaza or Ukraine if you can.
Well, if you remember The Martian on Bugs Bunny, ooh, you earthlings, good luck to us.
Right. He was wearing those funny sneakers, too, I remember.
That's right.
Too.
Now I'll have to vaporize you.
Right. I was just watching that the other night. It's funny you brought that up. There's a new cable network here in the States. It's called Me Too Network, Me Too, and they show a lot of the old television shows like Lost in Space.
Yes, we have that here.
It was to be on here. Oh, yeah, okay. So that was down in the 1960s when that came out. And late at night, when I'm sitting here doing my work, if I'm watching Me Too TV, they put on some old Warner Brothers cartoons. And it's funny you should mention, I just saw the other night the one with the Martian and Daffy Duck, and he was running around trying to zap the planet with those funny sneakers that he wears. So, yeah, small world out there, you know. It's funny how all this ties in or comes in at your time at certain times. But I got to tell you, I sort of enjoy those old Lost in Space comedy episodes, you know, that really, looking back here 50
time
years
tunnel
to see where we are now.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.